Crack on while she does that. First off, just a little story from the week. Okay, you know we've got this new youth worker. She's been busy kind of getting herself into the community and making contacts and all the rest of it. And one of the things she did was she went to Morrison's and she said, hey, I don't know exactly what she said, but she said something like, hey, I'm the new youth worker for Coalwall, and what can you do for us? And they said, okay, we'll fill you up a whole load of crates, like the ones that you get for a home delivery of stuff, and you can have that for your youth club. And she was like, great. So she sent me some photos of her car, absolutely rammed full of those kind of home delivery crates, full of stuff. And I went in the office on Saturday to pick up the church laptop, and I looked through one of the crates, and it was filled with things like dog food, toothpaste, boxes of marrow fat peas. These are obviously all the things that they can't flog normally in the shop. And then interestingly, or not, as you might imagine, there were lots of bottles of Morrison's own brand Alka-Seltzer. So you can imagine that if a youth club had eaten a load of marrow fat peas and dog food, they probably would need the Alka-Seltzer afterwards. Just a little aside, but it was just great that, you know, Morrison's supporting us, and they've put her on a list, apparently, of people that they donate stuff to. So she's making headway in some form or other. That's got absolutely nothing to do with Ephesians, but I just thought I'd let you know. Now, Ephesians. This is the introduction, okay? Ephesians is quite a short book. Did anyone dig into it? It's only 6 chapters. Has anyone read any of it in the past week? Yes, well done. One or two of you. Well done. That's excellent work. Really good, really good. Now, I was going to take a risk this morning. We're going to change it slightly because time has run away from us a little bit. But I was going to take a risk. And based on the fact that this is there's a really good precedent in Scripture. In Nehemiah, Ezra gets the law, as it was in those days, not the full Bible, because, you know, most of it hadn't happened by that point, but he gets the book of the law, and it says he starts from early in the morning until midday, and he just reads it to the people. And it has a profound effect upon them. People weep and cry, and to the point, actually, where the kind of leaders have to say to the people, come on, stop crying now, go and have some food, and we'll continue this later on, sort of thing. And so I thought it would be really good just to read some of Ephesians this morning. I was going to read the whole thing, but I don't think I've got time anymore. So we're just going to read the first 3 chapters. So sorry to anyone that I prompted from chapters 4 onwards. You're not needed. Well, you are needed, but not to read this morning. So it's just 1 to 3 we're going to read. But not quite yet, because I just want to do a little bit of explanation. In fact, when Ezra read the law to the people, the Bible does tell us that they also interpreted it a little bit, you know, to give the people some understanding of what was being said. So I just want to give you a little bit of a kind of quick overview of what we're doing with Ephesians over the next 6 weeks. So you can break, like most books in the Bible, you can break them down into kind of chunks and themes. And there are different ways of breaking Ephesians down. But there was a guy called Watchman Nee. Has anyone heard of him? You may have heard the name, but not even kind of really know who he is. But he was a Chinese guy, born early in the 20th century, and I think he only died in about 1973 or something. But he was someone who just committed fully his life to God once he became a Christian and suffered greatly for it. A guy that was in prison for most of his life, in fact, I think. Once he'd been arrested in about, I don't know, sometime when the Communist Party came to power after the Second World War, he was arrested then and he was in prison for the rest of his life, basically. I think maybe just right at the very end that he made it. No, he wasn't. He was in prison all the way through to the very end of his life. And he was tortured, but he never gave in, and he was really faithful. And, you know, right to the end, they found a little note under his pillow just saying, you know, I am a Christian, and that's who I am. You know, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he just never gave in, no matter what they did to him. One of the things that he felt called to was to write about the Scriptures. And he broke Ephesians down into 3 sections, and it's that we're going to follow over the next 6 weeks. So the 3 sections that he breaks Ephesians down into He gives it three kind of easy words to remember, okay? So the first section he called sit, and the second section he called walk, and the third section he called stand. Okay, so it's sit, walk, sit, walk, stand. Sit, walk, stand. Okay, don't let me get that in the wrong order. So what he meant by that was, in Ephesians, what Paul is doing when he's writing this letter is he's firstly saying, this is who you are in Christ. You need to sit down. You need to hear this. You need to understand what your inheritance is in Christ Jesus. You need to get that on board. You need to understand what your relationship with God is first and foremost. So that's in chapters 1 to 3. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next 2 weeks, is looking at that. Who are we in Christ? What has Christ done for us? And what does that give us? So we're just going to sit and take that in. And then the next section, as Watchman Lee had it, is in chapter sort of 4 to the first part of chapter 6, which is the walk bit, where we've understood a little bit of who we are in Christ. Now we're saying, how does that work out? How do we walk that out? How do we continue in that journey? What does that mean for us as Christians in our lives? What does knowing who we are in Christ, what's the implication of that on how we walk, how we go about things, how we, as we've been saying this morning, how we meet people in the street, and what do we do when we meet them, and what's our focus when we meet them, and what does it do for our prayer life, and all those kind of things. So we sit, we understand who we are in Christ, and then we have to walk that out. We have to live it out. And then finally is the last part of Ephesians chapter 6, which is quite a famous bit. And when we get to it, you'll definitely recognise it. It's about the armour of God. And Watchman Nee is saying, but there's more to do in terms of not just walking, but we have to stand against something sometimes. We're in a battle. And we have to take our stand against the enemy. So we understand who we are in Christ. We live that out. And there are times when we have to stand against something. We have to actually fight a battle. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be, the first two are going to be knowing our identity in Christ and knowing our inheritance in Christ. That's the first two of the series. And then number three is going to be being Christ's body in the world, and our individual lives as living witnesses. And then the fifth one is going to be the battle. Does that make sense? Good. All right. So let's just read chapters 1 to 3. I downloaded some instrumental music to go behind it. And then I spent a big chunk of yesterday afternoon trying to put together this really fancy video of beautiful images and the music going. And I even was going to overlay it with Ephesians being read by someone else. And I just thought, well, it wasn't working for starters. And I guess that was kind of a clue from God that maybe just his word is enough and we don't need to jazz it up at all. But we will play a little bit of music in the background so that if you want to, you can just close your eyes and let it soak into you. If you want to, follow it in your own Bible, as we're going to be reading from the Church Bible, which is the New Living Translation. So you can do that. Or just listen, if you can do that. But focus on it. This is the Word of God. This is not, you know, this is not me preaching a sermon. This is what the Word of God says. This is Paul's writing to the Ephesians, but something that has been held up by the church for 2,000 years as being something really important from God. So let's just listen to it. If you want to close your eyes and say and let it soak in, then do that. I mean, if you kind of drift off into prayer or something else, that's okay, because you're still, the word is going over you and you're hearing the music. But I would say focus it as far as you can on this word. So Frieda is going to do the chapter 1 for us, aren't you, Frieda? Do you want to come up and do it? Is it loud enough on this microphone? Can you hear this okay? Good.
This letter is from Paul. Chosen by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. It is written to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May grace and peace be yours, sent to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be his holy, to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us, because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we, who were the first to trust in Christ, should praise our glorious God. And now you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ. And he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything, everywhere with his presence.
Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favour that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead, along with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favour and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. God saved you, and by his special favour when you believed. And you can't take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Christ Jesus. Though you once were far away from God, now you've been brought near to him because of the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He's brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and to us Jews who were near. Now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit.
I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus because of my preaching to you Gentiles. As you already know, God has given me this special ministry of announcing his favour to you Gentiles. As I briefly mentioned earlier in this letter, God himself revealed his secret plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand what I know about this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now he has revealed it by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is the secret plan. The Gentiles have an equal share with the Jews in all the riches inherited by God's children. Both groups have believed the good news, and both are part of the same body and enjoy together the promise of blessings through Christ Jesus. By God's special favour and mighty power, I have been given the wonderful privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Just think, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I am the least deserving Christian there is, I was chosen for this special joy of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose was to show his wisdom in all its rich variety to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. They will see this when Jews and Gentiles are joined together in his church. This was his plan from all eternity, and it has now been carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. So please don't despair because of what they are doing to me here. It is for you that I am suffering, so you should feel honoured and encouraged. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will all be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen.
Wasn't it just to hear the word of God being read? Thank you to the three readers. You did a great job of that. It was lovely. Anybody want to say anything that struck them from those first three chapters? I'll kick off if you want. One of the things that Frieda read, which just jumped out at me, was in chapter one where Paul says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he has called. That's a lovely phrase, isn't it? I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. Isn't that a good thing? So we can understand what it is that God has called us to. Anything else jump out at anyone? There's loads in there. There's so much in there about who we are in Christ and what he's done for us.
It's good to remember that there was a time before Jesus when there were certain people that were closer to God and others that were like, it was impossible to get near him.
Mm-hmm. There's so much good stuff in there, isn't there, about how God's almighty power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's working in us. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that something to hold on to? It's incredible.
And then in the middle of all that sort of vast tapestry of God's love, is that little phrase that Christ should make his home in your heart, which is very domestic and intimate and beautiful.
And some of the themes that we've been singing about already this morning came up, didn't they? That Christ is the cornerstone, that everything is built on him. And then another little phrase that we kind of mentioned earlier on, right from the start really, when Sarah said, sometimes we come and we feel like our hands are dirty. But it says in chapter 3, verse 12, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome.
There's, I think it's quite a very empowering book, isn't it? It's just the idea that actually we've got to get away. It's all the stuff Christ done for us, it's all the things he could do as well, not just for us, but through us.
Yeah.
Not to limit, you know, that phrase is it's immeasurable what he could do.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we believe and we found him,
yeah.
Let him work through us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's going to be exciting, isn't it? I think, looking at this in more detail over the next couple of weeks, 1 to 3, the bit we just read, that will be the bit we look at over the next couple of weeks. And then we'll go on and we'll do, say, 4 to the start of 6 in another 2 sessions. And then the final session will be the end of 6. But it was lovely. It was really good hearing the Word of God just read aloud over us. That was great. Shall we end with a song? Have you got another one?
Appropriate one.
Okay, you're right. Good. And then will you close us in prayer?
Yes, sure.
Thank you.
When you were talking about Cornerstone, I thought, oh, there's a song about that. And that's actually the last song on my list, so obviously the right one to do.